Good morning, Cornerstone Church. How you guys doing this morning? Jeremy did not warn me that I probably shouldn't take communion right before speaking. How you guys doing? We're good? Well, there's my slides. Good. Thanks. So, my name is Matt, and I'm here preaching this morning, and I'll be with you the next few... I'll be with you the next few weeks. The announcement is in... For those of you visiting, our pastor, our senior pastor, Jeremy and his wife Sarah have had their baby, Joseph Zachariah. He was born this morning. There's a close-up of him, and Jeremy's already working at a very high dad level. But that baby was born this morning very early, and I, for one, and his father would like to thank Joseph for waiting till the very last second to come. It's really great. I went to bed last night thinking that Jeremy was up, and I woke up this morning scrambling. But here we go. This morning, we're going to get into a new sermon series, and it's called Flock. We're going to take a look at sheep and shepherds, but this morning I'll be fast. I know all the women are at women's retreat, and they'll be coming home soon. Those of you dads who made it out here, even though your wife is gone, should be commended. It wasn't as easy as I thought it would be, but we made it. And we'll be short today because I know the Super Bowl is coming, and like every good Christian, you'll be at home rooting for the Falcons. Or should I say rooting against the Patriots. Many of you know I'm not a real traveler. Oh my, I'm all the way back, sorry. Many of you know that I'm not a traveler, but recently, just a few weeks ago, my wife and I did an almost two-week tour of the United Kingdom. It was awesome, it was really cool. The UK is beautiful, it's absolutely stunning. But I think one of the things that stood out... This baby's getting a lot of run here on its first day. I think the thing that stood out to my wife and I about the UK was that there were sheep everywhere. And I mean everywhere. This is literally a picture I took from my car while they were just kind of like standing on the roads. And there's a fence. You can see a fence over there. I don't know what it's doing, but it's not holding sheep for sure. I did even get close up to some sheep. And as we're spending time in this countryside, and we went, you know, we went to Northern Ireland, we went up into the Scotland Highlands, and there's just sheep everywhere. We stayed at a Airbnb for a few nights, and literally there's a sheep pen across the street from our thing. In fact, this is a picture from the window of our Airbnb where we stayed, and there's just sheep, just everywhere, sheep. It was unbelievable, and it really got me thinking a lot about sheep and shepherds. We were in awe. We'd never really gotten that close to sheep, but sheep are kind of cool. They're a little bit weird, and when you get really close to them, you realize that, like, as an American, I just have not spent a lot of sheep time in my life. But the Bible talks about sheep a lot, and I mean a lot. There's so much in there about sheep and shepherds, right? Even this morning, we're singing about the lion and the lamb, and God the Lamb was our victory. There's so much about sheep and shepherds. And so when I started to see these sheep, I started to try to understand what the relationship was like. And we got to see sheep dogs corralling sheep, and we got to see all kinds of crazy sheep things. One thing that was especially fun, there was a little sheep. He wasn't that little, actually. But somehow he had gotten outside the fence. And they spray paint these sheep in the UK. They spray paint their butts like bright colors, so that if they get out, people know kind of like whose sheep is who. And so some of them have two colors. I don't know if they're part of like a sheep conglomerate or how that works. But one of the sheep had gotten out of the fence, and when we woke up in the morning in that same place, the sheep literally was staring into the fence, but he couldn't get in. And then later in the day, we saw him, and he was like around on the other side of the pen, but still couldn't get in, just looking in like a big dumb idiot. Because he wanted to get in, but he couldn't find the way that he got out, apparently. And so we felt sad for him. He needed the shepherd to come and help him because he'd gotten away. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be a good sheep. We find this language in the Bible a lot, sheep and shepherds. And typically, when the Bible refers to sheep, it's referring to us, Christians. And when it's referring to the shepherd, it's typically referring to Jesus, our good shepherd. And so in the next few weeks, what we're going to do is talk about the sheep and the shepherd relationship, how it works, how it plays out in real life. And this morning, we're going to start by talking about what it takes to be a good sheep. Sorry, I'm really bad with these screens behind me. She knows. Okay. Is that Joseph already? Seriously, we gave him enough. Enough time here. The first thing that we can do to be good sheep is to hear the shepherd and follow his voice. If you have a Bible with you, please open to John chapter 10. We're going to bounce around a little bit this morning, but we're going to camp in John chapter 10. One of my favorite passages from Jesus. Take a look at these verses with me. Well, I got to find those verses, sorry. My real tiny Bible I left at my office, and so I'm borrowing this one from the back. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to pick one up from the back. It's not this one because I'm using it. I'm going to read from here. I promise I'm at it, though. The watchman opens the gate for him. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This idea of sheep recognizing the shepherd's voice, it's really real. Like, if you YouTube this, and I was going to play a video, but again, the baby came at like 5 a.m., so it's not here. But there's people who go out and they will try to shout for the sheep, and they'll shout and shout and shout, and then another person will shout and shout and shout, and the sheep just ignore them like there's nothing. And then the shepherd goes out and says, "Hey, sheep," and they all go, "Bah," and then they start running towards him. It's unbelievable. I got a firsthand taste of this a few years back. I was visiting a friend, and she introduced me to a dog park. You guys know what a dog park is? Are you familiar with the concept? Basically, you just bring your dog, and then other people bring their dogs, and they just run wild and free, and they love it, mostly. And I was amazed. I didn't know this existed, and I love dogs. I'm a dog guy, and so I just thought dog parks were the coolest, but I didn't own a dog. So I would sometimes visit dog parks just to, like, meet other dogs, which I found out later is creepy. About a year after I first learned about dog parks, I found myself trying to kill some time in between meetings, and I happened to go through a Humane Society. I do that sometimes. The Humane Society is like a zoo to me and my family. We just go and pet dogs and wish we could have them, but don't. Except this time, I found her. And this is the exact picture I sent to my wife on her phone with one word: wow. Her response was also one word: no. But I put a down payment on the dog anyway. I just wanted to see how it played out. So I had gone to my meeting, and then on my way home from the meeting, I just couldn't help myself. I'm not even kidding. I went back and, like, took the dog on a walk. And here I am in, like, a shirt and tie, and it's snowing, like, blizzarding. And I'm running down this road with this animal, right? I just loved her. She was great. And she's gone now. Sorry, my slides are not on point. This morning I had to clean up some of this stuff. I apologize. So anyway, long story short, we had some negotiating, and the dog came home. But it was a trial bit, right? So what we did, we told the kids we were, like, babysitting a dog. And then if it went well, then we could keep it. But if it didn't go well, we would just deliver it back to its owners. And Kristen wouldn't look like a bad dog-hating person. But we all know the truth. So the first thing I do with this dog, right? Like, I'm juiced about it. Haven't had a dog in a long time, and I'm like, dog park, for sure, right? Dog park. So I grab the dog, and I, you know, I get her collar and take her out to the dog park and let her loose. And she is awesome. This dog is fast. She's fun. She's friendly with all the other dogs. I'm loving it. I'm talking to other dog people. I'm a dog person now, and I'm like, hey, you got a dog? I got a dog. Our dogs are cool. And then I start to look, and there's, like, dogs everywhere, right? And I can't quite tell which brown dog is mine because it's pretty new to me. And then I found her. She's wearing that hot pink collar. Let me see if I can find that. So these slides are really rough. I'm sorry, you guys. Here, you can't see her at all. Okay. Anyway, I found her. I could see which one she was. And so we were there, probably was there like an hour, hour and a half. I just thought it was great to be there, and I just felt like I'm one of the group now. I'm not creepy anymore. And it's time to go. And so I yell. So the dog, sorry, backstory. The dog had been named Lucy at the Humane Society. And she had only gotten there like 9 days before I bought her. And so she had a different name before that that they didn't know, so they just called her Lucy for 9 days. And then we got her, and then Natalie named her, but still wasn't clued into the idea that this dog was a dog that we were babysitting, but she got to name it. And so we named her Sadie. So I'm out there at the dog park, and I'm ready to go. It's getting late, and I'm like, Sadie, Sadie, come! And I'm shouting, and she's just playing and wandering around. The dog park, folks, is 3 acres. It's not small, and I cannot chase this dog down. She doesn't know me. It suddenly dawned on me, she has no idea who I am, right? I took her for a walk the night before. She doesn't even know who she is, right? I yell Sadie, that means nothing to her. My voice means nothing to her. And so she didn't come, and I had to wait till most of the dogs were out, and then she tried to follow one, and then I quick grabbed her. But she didn't know my voice, and she didn't know who she was, because I hadn't told her. But over the years, we spent lots of time with her. Sadie, we still have. She's, I don't know, 7, 8 years old now. And just a couple of months ago, we took her back out to the dog park again. She still loves it. And I have a whistle now, and when I whistle it, and I'm not good at it because of the mic, but when I whistle that and I say, Sadie, come, all I have to do is once, and she immediately picks up her head and charges to me and sits down at my feet. And it's really special because now she knows my voice. She recognizes my voice, and I know her, and she knows me, and she knows who she is because I've told her who she is. And Jesus is a lot like that as well. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And so it's really important that we know him, that we really know him. I'm not talking about knowing about him. Lots of us know facts about God, right? My stupid dog knew, like had seen me, but she didn't know me. And now she does, and because she knows me, she knows that she should mind my voice. And she listens for it, and she follows me most of the time. Do you know him? Do you really know him, and do you follow him? I've struggled with this a little bit, even in the last month. You just get times where you just feel kind of like distant, right? Maybe you don't. And the thing that keeps coming back to me is this verse in James that says, draw near to me. Draw near to me. And he'll draw near to you. And that's an important thing that we as Christians sometimes forget to do. We may come to church, we may go to small group, But are we getting to know him? Can you hear his voice? Or are you like the sheep who continue to eat and feed because they don't know the shepherd's voice? Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that I really found in the UK with all these sheep, right? The sheep, like, need the shepherd. And I don't mean, like, sheep are a little bit better off because they have a shepherd. Like, sheep are desperately stupid. And they have to have a shepherd or they'll die. They'll just die. In his book, Philip Keller writes a book. He is a past shepherd and a pastor. And he writes a book about the 23rd Psalm, right? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he talks all about sheep and his day of shepherding and walks through the whole, it's a great book. I really recommend it. But in there, he basically says, sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They'll ruin a pasture. Why are you going away? They'll ruin a pasture by eating in one place until there's nothing left to eat. They're nearsighted, timid, feeble, defenseless. They have no homing instinct and can't find their way home without a shepherd to guide them. Sheep need a shepherd. And the people of Bible times, they understood this. This idea of sheep, right? It's not real familiar to me. Unless you're like a 4-H person, it's probably not super familiar to you. But in Bible times, sheep were everywhere. And people fully understood the idea of sheep and shepherd. And so it wasn't a question of whether or not you needed a shepherd. But I think today, we don't understand that relationship. In Psalm 100, I'm going to find this one. In Psalm 100, the author who writes it knows firsthand because he was a shepherd. If you go to Psalm 100, you will see a nice short little section. Starting in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. And it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I didn't put all that up there, and I should have. But in simple terms, the psalmist is saying, we know God. Praise him. God is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And this is really amazing, actually, that he says this because, well, let me, sorry, sermon note. I'm pulling a Jeremy here. If you've got sermon notes, the next one is the next thing you can do to be a good sheep is to know the shepherd and recognize his value to you, right? So we're just desperately in need of our good shepherd. And sometimes we forget that and we forget who he is, but he is really important. In Colossians chapter 1, it says this, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. By him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The magnitude of that is really important. He's everything. Jesus is everything. Everything. He made it all. It was made for him. It was made through him. It was made by him. We're his. And I never, ever understood that fully until my daughter, on her second birthday, we got a call from the doctor that she had a brain tumor. And they were going to need to operate quickly. And there were complications during that surgery, which was already scary, and we really thought she was going to die. And at that moment, I understood the difference between the creator and the created. And if you guys have heard me preach before, I bang on this all the time. I think it's really important because sometimes we forget. God made us. He is the creator. We are the created. And we're his. And he's got control. And I've never felt more helpless than when my little girl couldn't breathe. She was hurting. I couldn't explain it to her. And there was nothing I could do. Nothing the doctors could do. But wait. And see what God would do. I needed my good shepherd. I needed him. I had to have him. No one else could do anything. I was desperate. And I remember just lying on the floor in my bedroom, just wailing, and praying, crying. God, I need you. It has to be you. I can't do anything. No money, no cleverness, no special tricks, no doctor, no science, just you. And only you can heal my daughter. And thankfully he did. And in this, when we fully recognize our need for the shepherd, out of it comes thanksgiving, like the psalmist. Know that he is God. It's he who made us. We're his. We're his people. And if you read around it, it's praise. It's thanksgiving. When you truly understand your need for the shepherd, then you'll truly have thanksgiving about it. Because he's our good shepherd. And he's worth our praise. And he chose us, and he made us his... Stop going away, man. I'll do better next week, I promise. But he chose us. And we're the sheep of his pasture. We're his people. And he put us together and he called us family. And that's really special. Something that is also very interesting about sheep is that they are a flocking animal, right? You very rarely see one sheep at a time, right? You usually see like 100 at a time. Because sheep like to get together. They like to be together. And it's super important for sheep to be together. Just like it's important for us to be together. The last thing that you can do to be a good sheep is to find your place with other sheep. This idea of us being sheep, being his sheep, this isn't like a mistake and it's not a metaphor used once or twice in the Bible. It's everywhere. Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere. And I don't think that... He means it lightly. I think that like sheep, we're made for community. Did you know that like sheep usually when they're running from danger, they don't even know what the danger is. But because they're all together, one sheep senses danger and begins to move and all the other sheep move with it. Because they know that their friend has seen danger and they are going to stay clear of it with their other sheep buddies. I don't really know what to call them. And that's kind of how the idea of sheepdogs works, is that the sheepdog comes in and freaks out like a couple of sheep over here on the edge, and then they all just go like, ah! And then the dog comes over here and kind of scares them back. And quality sheepdog, we saw a sheep that was just like moving sheep exactly where they needed to go. And he used this instinct they have to protect themselves. They also keep warm. They're protected from danger, except those sheep on the outside. Right? They're kind of the first ones to go. But if you're on the inside, if you're on the inside of the group, right, you're insulated and you're safe. And that's why the sheep that I saw outside the gate was looking in, because he felt naked and exposed, because he was sitting out there alone. He wasn't in his pen anymore. He had wandered away and he needed the shepherd to bring him back. We as Christians are a community people. God made us that way. He made us to be together. And I think that's pretty special. Paul describes it in Romans as a body. And you've all heard this before. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Right? That it's like the sheep in the flock, right? You don't have an arm that just goes off on its own. Right? It can't do a whole lot out there. It needs to be with the body, but with the body, the arm is really valuable. Right? But without the body, an arm is pretty worthless. And so we need each other. We need each other. And God has called us to be together. He's called us to know each other. In Colossians, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Charles Spurgeon talks about Christians who hate the church. Do you know people like this? Maybe you are people like this. I was a person like this when I was young. I did not like the church. I felt like the church was toxic and harsh and hard. And I thought that a lot of things that happened in my church experience really kind of shone poorly on Jesus. And it wasn't until I found a great church that I understood what all this body language is about. Charles Spurgeon talks about the Christian who tries to be outside of the community. He says, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks. And so do God's people." This isn't about church, coming to church on Sunday morning. That's not what it's about. We're made for Christian community. And if we look at the New Testament, we see that they ate together. They lived together. They worked together. They played together. They raised families together. They were together. And they loved it. And they were safe. And they were close. And they cared for one another, and they protected each other, and they told each other, "Run!" when there was something dangerous. And God's built us to be like that. And so it's not about building an organization. It's not about growing this church to have 5,000 people. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about community. And are you in community? This is something I think Cornerstone does pretty well. If you want the true experience of church community, you got to plug in. And Sunday mornings just isn't what it's talking about. It's talking about playing together, spending time together. I don't know if this slide made it. It did. So here's a picture from the women's retreat that a lot of our gals are at. None of them are here, probably. But they went out for the weekend just to sing and pray and have fun together and eat together and goof off. And I don't know what women do when they're married. They probably don't talk about boys. It's not the way they used to. But they had fun together. And that's what Christian community is about. And so if you have your bulletin, there's going to be lots of opportunities for things to do. I didn't bring mine up. But there's lots of opportunities in there for things you can do to get together in community here, so that we can know each other. And you're part of it. And if you're not connected, if you're not connecting with someone, it's probably because you're not trying very hard. And so I really encourage you to go out and connect with each other and be this community that God has called us to be. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. God, we just love you and appreciate you. And you are our good shepherd, and we are your sheep. And Lord, we need you desperately. Even on days where we don't feel like we need you, we need you. And we need each other. So Lord, thank you for showing us a picture of who you are and of who we are. Help us to know your voice, to recognize your voice, to follow you, to know our need for you. Help us to know our need for each other and plug in. You are a good shepherd, Jesus. We thank you so much for that baby. Lord, we just think it's so amazing that you make life. You bring life. From nothing, you bring life. And it's really amazing, God. It's really, really spectacular.